You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Katie.
And this is the Earn and Invest Podcast.
For years, I've been thanking Jim Daly of the White Coat Investor for introducing me to the concept of financial independence and giving me the confidence to manage my own finances. As I've said many, many times, his book gave me the vocabulary to unpack and understand my financial situation. Yet, as I was being interviewed recently on the Bogleheads conference stage and looking down at Jim and his wife, Katie, in the audience, I realized that I had never thanked her, which is actually pretty silly because I had interacted with Katie a number of times and know she has been involved in the business since day one. My slip-up calls to mind a deeper issue when it comes to running a business. Many of us dream of working alongside our spouses. We imagine building a family empire, but rarely contemplate what the nuts and bolts will actually look like. Well, today, we peel off the cover. James Daly is a practicing emergency physician and founder of the White Coat Investor. After multiple run-ins with unscrupulous financial professionals early in his career, he embarked on his own self-study process to become financially literate. After seeing the benefits of financial literacy in his own life, he was inspired to start the White Coat Investor to assist his colleagues. Katie Daly has been at the White Coat Investor from the very beginning. She has degrees in sports medicine and adapted physical education, and she worked as a certified athletic trainer for the 2002 Winter Olympic Games. When the White Coat Investor was first created in 2011, Katie served as Jim's idea sounding board. Now she oversees all the WCI-branded products from conferences to courses and from speaking engagements to the online store. Jim and Katie, welcome to Earn and Invest. Katie, let's start off with the big questions. What's the biggest fight you guys have generally at work?
Well, that's a good question. Probably the biggest fight we have generally at work is sort of whose responsibility is something and who gets the final say.
And I was about to say, which one is it? Is it Jim always trying to pawn things off on you and you always asking for the final say, or vice versa?
I think some of it is just more that I want a little bit more input in some things sometimes. And he's like, you know, ultimately that's his decision as the CEO.
Jim, let's talk about the beginnings of the White Coat Investor. Was there this thought that this was going to be something you did together, or was it more like Katie was informally giving you advice and you were using her as a soundboard, or was it kind of a more thoughtful beginning that, hey, we're going to build this together?
You know, it's funny you mention that because it has been a very gradual evolution. I would say at the beginning of the White Coat Investor, I'm not even sure Katie knew what I was doing. So she was certainly not involved. It was basically she was doing her thing. My friends were all at work and I was working evenings and nights and holidays and I had all these weekday mornings off. And I'm like, I got to do something here. I got super excited about the idea of passive income. For some reason, I thought a blog was going to be passive.
Totally passive, right?
It was really kind of stupid in retrospect. And I'd already been doing this kind of work, you know, trying to help doctors become financially literate online for many years before starting the White Coat Investor. I'd just been doing it on various forums. And I got sick of typing the same thing in over and over again. And so I started a blog that I could just, you know, post a link to a blog post to answer a question. But I thought, well, hey, I'll throw some ads up on it and see if I can make some money. And my goal was to be making $1,000 a month within 2 years. And I barely made that goal. And I would say that Katie was probably not involved at all in the first couple of years when I was making no money at all. Now, that's involved in the business. Obviously, the only way I had time to do this, working a full-time emergency medicine career, and to do this on the side was because she was taking care of so much else in her lives, right? She got a lot more interested as it started making more money, and her role has gradually grown and grown and grown. Now she works more in the business than I do. She's much closer to full-time than I am in the White Coat Investor. I don't even know if I'm working full-time between the White Coat Investor and my 0.4 FTE clinical practice, but her role has built significantly since then.
I would input that I think he's got a little bit of amnesia as far as the start of the business, because I helped him with coming up with the name of the business and helping with some of the design of the website, getting the header and logo and things set up and just following what was happening with it. The lack of interest was not there. I mean, I was reading what was being posted, but we also had three young kids at that time. And so that was what occupied most of my time at that time. But as there was more and more work and he couldn't handle it all, then I was starting to pick up more and being involved more and helping, particularly starting with speaking engagements and making all this travel and things like that.
Katie, tell me what you thought about the whole blogging and business thing when he first started it. When he started doing this, were you like, oh, this is going to make money, this is going to be great? Or what's he wasting his time doing? Like, what was your impression at the beginning?
At first I didn't expect it to necessarily take off and make a ton of money, that it would be, you know, this little sort of side gig, something that, you know, that could help him find something to do with his time during the day when everybody else was at work and you know, we had little kids. So I never expected it to take off to what it has become, but it was a way he was giving back into helping other people in the community. And so I supported that because he was trying to help educate a lot of other doctors so they didn't have to go through the same financial mistakes that we had made in our journey.
And Katie, you've played several different roles, right? So right now we are just talking about how pretty much you're the head of branded products, but you've done lots of things within the business.
I mean, everybody that started early on in the business wore multiple hats. And it was, you know, for a long time, we ran this with, you know, 3 to 5 part-time people. And so everybody pitched in. If it was a conference, if it was a big product, everybody was working on it. And as we've added more and more people, then my roles have narrowed down to what I'm in charge of and responsible for. But yeah, we've all had different hats and, you know, it was all hands on deck.
Jim, Katie was talking about how you started with 3 to 5 people. Were there other family members involved at the time too?
I cannot emphasize how busy we were. From 2013 to about 2018, 2019. I mean, I was basically working 2 full-time jobs. Katie's now working a part-time job and trying to hold the rest of our family together. And her part-time job is quickly becoming a full-time job. And it was just crazy, crazy, crazy. And so we just looked for help. And neither of us having much business experience, not being particularly good at management nor hiring people, we just reached out to whoever we could find that we could hire as quickly as we could. Our first hire was actually my sister, who we looked at and said, boy, she could sure use a little bit of extra money in her life. And I think I could teach her to do a whole bunch of the stuff I'm doing now. Let's get her over here. And I went to her and said, I basically need you to pick up $100 bills that I'm leaving lying on the ground, because I was just not renewing advertising contracts because I was too busy. And she put me off. She said, nah, I'm too busy this summer. Let's talk again in the fall. So by fall, I was desperate, right? So when she started, she had about 8 hats on, you know, everything from advertising sales to business management to bookkeeping to, you know, all kinds of things. And for at least, 2 years, she was our only employee. And so our next hire was a neighbor who did content management, you know, again, part-time. Somebody that could use some work. I think she was thinking about going over to work at a very low paid position at the local school. And we said, well, we can pay you twice that much and teach you what to do. And so she was all for that. And she worked with us for several years until she retired. And then our next hire was my other sister, another one of my sisters who still manages social media for us. This is Michelle. And when we went to do our first conference in Park City in 2018, had Michelle been hired? So it was Katie and Cindy and Jill and I, and we put on a conference for 300 people, and it was insane. And we said, we're never doing that again. And we kept that word.
And then you kept doing it.
About 2 years. But somewhere in 2019, we just realized we got to hire a lot more people. This is insane. It's eating our lives, and we're not doing as good of a job as we could be doing with more people.
Katie, talk about the difficulties there, because when you're working with your spouse, you're not only building your business, you're building your family, you're taking care of the house. Talk about the complications of both trying to juggle the business and the family together.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult because there's a lot of, you know, you have to set boundaries sometimes between work and family, because work stresses can affect family stresses and vice versa. And so, and you know, and who's taking care of what responsibilities. And so that can cause some frustration. You feel like there's just so much happening and, you know, trying to just manage it all. And so, yeah, it's definitely tricky and requires a lot of communication, which we're not awesome at, but we are constantly working on, you know, to help reduce that frustration. So there isn't, we're not getting in fights about, you know, stuff that's not that important.
Jim, I find it hard to believe that Katie just said we're not the greatest at communication, but looking at what you've built with the White Coat Investor, and also it's not like you just have one kid. I mean, you've got a pretty big family. I mean, you guys must have gotten really good at communicating in order to keep all those balls in the air.
I don't think so. We're not that good at that. Here's what people need to understand, right? Working together in addition to running a household and a marriage together puts a lot of stress on a couple. I would say 80% of the disagreements, fights, whatever you want to call it, that we've had in the last 6 or 7 years are business related. You know, it's not always all hunky-dory. And you disagree about the direction something should go, or how we should interact with a particular employee, or, you know, how things ought to be run, or how the business ought to be structured. We don't always agree on all that stuff. And you need to understand, if you go into business with your spouse, is it's going to take work. You know, just like in your marriage, it takes work. In the business, it's going to take work. And I think, you know, overcoming that brings an incredible amount of strength to the business. But to pretend that stress isn't there, I think, is just, you know, Pollyanna-ish. It's going to be there. And there's a lot of people that, you know what, they need that break from their spouse every day to go away to work for 8 hours. And when your spouse comes to work with you, you know, everything's better be going well in the marriage, or it's going to make work that much harder.
Katie, did you know what you were getting yourself into? I mean, as I'm listening to Jim talk about this, it does hit me how complicated that could become. When you said, okay, I need to start putting more time into this, we're drowning, things are going so well, someone's got to help pick this all up. Did you have any idea kind of that stress and strain and what it would be like?
No, not at all. It was more just like, hey, help is needed. You know, it was all hands on deck. We got to get this done, keep things moving forward. But, you know, in 2019, we got to the point of, you know, there were 5 part-timers running a multi-million dollar business. And we had to be like, either we have to do less with the people that we have, or we have to grow the infrastructure to support the growth that has happened in the business. And because it was just getting to breaking point. Jim was burnt out. I think everybody was all a little bit burned out of just trying to keep things going and knowing we were just dropping stuff left and right.
Jim, you'd mentioned the fact that neither of you were necessarily natural managers. How did you kind of step up that game? Because knowing you as long as I have, I mean, I've watched this business grow, right? And so I don't see the inside numbers, but I can tell from the outside that it's kind of grown exponentially. How did you adapt to fit that piece in correctly so that you could keep growing in a healthy manner?
I think probably the biggest thing we did is recognized what we're not good at. In my case, a big part of that is management and negotiation, right? I'm a doctor. I'm a people pleaser. I have no training in management. Frankly, I don't have a lot of interest in managing other people, and I'm not that good at it. But I recognize that. And so our first hire at the end of 2019, started in 2020, about a week before the pandemic, actually, was Brett Stevens. He's our chief operating officer. You know what? He goes and drives him nuts if I ask him to write an email or a blog post or something like that. He hates doing that. But that's my strong suit. But you know what he's really good at? He's really good at management. He's really good at negotiation. He's really good at putting systems and processes in place. So my recognition was the fact that just because I'm a doctor, or just because I started the White Coat Investor, I'm not good at everything. and I need to hire people that are better at their jobs than I am. And so that was a big turning point in the business at the beginning of 2020. We started recognizing we needed to professionalize it. We needed to hire people who already knew how to do their jobs, because I could no longer teach them how to do the jobs that we needed done. I simply didn't have the skill set. So that's probably the biggest change for me.
Katie, we've focused a little bit on what can be difficult about working within a family, the stressors, the fights about work, et cetera. Talk about some of the positive things, or maybe some of the things that felt easier within the business because of your relationship outside of work.
Certainly working together, just because you know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and then can use those. Like if something needs to be written, I'm like, Jim, you can go wordsmith this. It's going to take me 3 hours to write the same thing. It's been, you know, nice to just see the difference that people, that, you know, I wasn't seeing all those emails beforehand of just the difference that the information was making in people's lives. And so now being more involved in the business, I see a lot more of that, you know, hear a lot more of that. And so that is really nice to just see that the impact and that we're able to do working together and with our team.
I think the biggest benefit of having your spouse working in the business is she cares about it more than anybody else. I mean, you try to incentivize your employees, you know, you have profit sharing, you have bonuses, you structure their compensation in such a way that they're incentivized to grow the business, but nobody is incentivized to grow it like the co-owner of the business. And if you own something, guess what? Your spouse is a co-owner, whether their name's on it or not, you know, because if that marriage splits up, your spouse is taking half of it. And just the willingness to work and to care about it and to treat it like your baby, you're not going to get that from anybody like you will from your spouse. And I think that's the greatest strength of having your spouse working with you in the business.
Jim, you just mentioned that the business as your baby, but let's talk about your other babies. Your children have grown up and seen you work together within this business. How do you think it's been for them to see mom and dad working together?
Well, they have seen it all, right? I mean, they've definitely heard us yelling at each other about some disagreement we had on the business at some point or other. It's been very interesting as they interact with people at school or whatever, and they get asked by a teacher or another parent, hey, are you Jim Dolly's kid? Our oldest daughter wrote several blog posts for the blog. Our next daughter did the intro to the podcast for many years. You know, they've all been models on the blog at some point or another. And so they've all been involved in the business and have taken an active part in it in that way. So in some ways, it definitely is a family affair. And I don't know if this thing's going to carry on to another generation or anything, but they're involved in it. I mean, it operates around them, right? They see people come into the house to meet with us and to have, you know, team meetings. And they know I'm upstairs recording podcasts and webinars a lot of time in the evenings. This business is all around them. In a lot of ways, there is no work-life separation, right? Work is here. Life is here. We're all here together. And it's all mixed up in some crazy way in the way they're being raised. So in some ways, the White Coat Investor is one of their siblings. In some ways, it's one of their parents. And we just muddle through as best we can.
Katie, we all know, because we're in the personal finance world, that there are financial reasons to have your kids be your models, right? Being able to set up a Roth IRA and all sorts of great things we can do. But do you think it's changed the kids' direction when it comes to what their work lives will look like? I mean, are you bringing up a bunch of entrepreneurs, do you think, because that's partially what they've seen you guys spend so much time doing, as opposed to bringing up a bunch of doctors who, that's obviously what Jim has spent a good deal of his time doing. But it seems to me that maybe at home, what they really see is you guys being entrepreneurs together.
Certainly, you know, our oldest is, you know, the first one in college, and she started out pre-med and then went to business. And now she's waffling a little bit about maybe medicine. And so it's interesting that, you know, they've seen that both options with the careers. I think one thing I hope for my girls is to see that they can still have a career and have flexibility, you know, and be a mom at the same time and have, you know, fulfill all the goals that they want in their life, but to see that there's still ways to be involved with the profession. But, you know, I think it helps our kids to look at, we talk a lot about business principles and, you know, the value of work and hard work and what people pay you to do and idea, you know, business ideas and things. And so who knows which direction they'll go and what they pick up from it. But I think it's nice for them to see the in and outs of what's involved in running a business.
Jim, tell me what it would be like if one of your girls came to you and said, "Dad, I don't want to go to college. I want to take over the family business. Let's do this." How would you feel?
This would be a very difficult business to take over without going to college. If we look at our staff, the majority of them not only have a college degree, but an advanced degree, doctorates and masters. It would just be a very difficult business, I think, to run without a degree and a significant education. It is not a plumbing business. It is not, you know, an electrical business. It is not a trade, right? It is educated ideas and communication and these things that you tend to learn in college. So even if that were their goal, I'd say go off to college, come back afterward and let's talk. So I just don't think you could pick up these skills without going to college. And it might even be better to have, you know, some sort of a profession too on the side to really be able to relate, especially if you're going to be a face of the business. You know, my role these days, a content creator and a face of the business, I think it's pretty important to be a professional to do that.
What if one of your daughters said, "Okay, Dad, I have some interest in medicine, but I really like what you do. I've got the grades. I'll go to medical school. I'm interested in this. I'm interested in the finance side. But I'm not going to do residency, or maybe I'll do residency, but my real goal is to work in the family business." Would that be something you'd be excited about? I mean, is there this idea of, I built this thing that I can then now give to my children and they can kind of be that legacy?
I think I'm pretty neutral on whether they work in it or not. I'm not against it. I'm not for it. If they really didn't want to practice medicine, I wouldn't push them to go to medical school though. If they wanted some sort of part business, part medicine career like I built, then I think it makes sense to still go to medical school. Certainly we have the means that they can go to medical school without having a $500,000 student loan hanging over their head, forcing them to practice afterward. But, you know, I would say if that was really their goal was to come run the business, that they ought to be thinking, you know, a direction like an MBA, that sort of a thing, if they really want to run the business.
We are talking to Jim and Katie Dolly, and they are the owners of The White Coat Investor. And we are peeling off the cover to look inside a family business. We're going to take a short break. I'm Doc G, and this is the Earn and Invest podcast. You know what? I love our meals from Factor. My son started getting them about a year ago when he needed a quick alternative to meals on the go. But where we've really enjoyed them is we've been remodeling our kitchen. That's right. We've had no access to our kitchen for the last few weeks. And some nights we just had no idea what to do for a meal. That is where Factor came in. We would just pop the meal in the microwave and 2 minutes later, we'd have a fantastic meal. You can do the exact same thing, and there's tons of variety. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week. These are chef-prepared meals, and let me tell you, they are delicious. No fuss, no mess. You just put it in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, you have a meal. This is tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Head to factormeals.com/earn50 and use your code earn50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code earn50 at factormeals.com/earn50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. All right, so most of us know the bad news already. If you were using Mint as a budgeting app, it has shut down. But the good news is there's something better, and it's called Monarch Money. I started using Monarch Money myself about 5 months ago, and I knew immediately that I liked it more than any other budgeting app I had ever used. For one, it focuses on collaboration. This is easy to share with your spouse, your partner, your financial advisor. And it's aspirational. Not only can you look at your current budget, but what do you want to buy? What do you want your goals to be? you can focus on those in Monarch Money. It's the next generation of personal finance apps. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Furthermore, you can create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/earn. Again, that's monarchmoney.com/EARN. What I like about this app is it's intuitive, easy to use, quick to sign on. It's collaborative, as we talked about. It's customizable. The idea is you can use this app the way you want to use it. And the reason why is the Monarch Money team is customer focused. They are focusing on you, me, and all the other people who want to use this app to live a better financial life. After trying out Monarch Money for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/earn. That's monarchmoney.com/EARN for your extended 30-day free trial. We are back with Jim and Katie Dolly of The White Coat Investor, and we are talking about running a business inside a marriage. Katie, I mentioned at the Bogleheads, and I was on stage, and I actually for once gave you credit, which I'd never done before. Do you feel like Jim sometimes gets all the credit and that people forget that, you know, that there are people behind him, including you, who's gotten more and more deeply involved as time has gone by?
Absolutely, because certainly he's the face of the business and, you know, all the emails of, you know, gratitude go to Jim. And so we've pointed that out. And so he's really good now about sharing, you know, an email of the day or, you know, as things come in to help people and help our staff just remember why we're doing this, you know, that it is impactful on people's lives. It's changing people's lives to helping them get their finances in order and to find that hope of coming out of, you know, such large sums of debt. And so, yeah, certainly. But I think we try to help that why be passed on.
I've tried to deflect a lot of the credit in the last few years to the staff. A lot of our writing, you'll notice, is now we, not I, throughout the blog, throughout the newsletters. And there's a great deal that is not done by me. People need to understand that I probably would have quit The White Coat Investor at the end of 2019 without significant additional help. I really was that burned out on it. And the only reason it exists is all these other people working on it, most of whom are behind the scenes. Now, some of them have a role where their face is out there. If you go to the conference, you know, you'll see that Chrislyn was hosting and she was on stage at the conference. And so you see another face out there on social media. Michelle's out there a lot. You know, this White Coat Investor Instagram feed that I never am on and never look at is essentially all Michelle. Andrew Paulson is the face of student loan advice. So we do have some people in the company whose faces are also out there. They're kind of, you know, community facing, but the majority of the company is still behind the scenes. It's the tech folks. It's the, you know, design folks. It's the marketing folks. It's the business folks. And without them, this wouldn't be here. And so I think a lot of people are catching on that there's a lot more people here that deserve the credit. And so a lot more of the thank yous are to Jim and your team, which is better than just me. But it does feel unfair that I'm getting all the thanks for the work everybody else is doing, because most of these other people are full time, right? I'm still part time at the White Coat Investor. This is a side gig for me. And so they definitely deserve, you know, the lion's share of the credit.
So, Katie, sum it up for us. There are a lot of people listening here who've dreamed about building their own business. And part of that dream was pulling their spouse in. Maybe their spouse could leave their job. Maybe they could hire someone to do some of the childcare so that they could work together. Is this the dream that people make it out to be?
You know, it is a dream to be able to build something cool with your spouse and to be able to have a mission that you're, you know, taking out to the world and impacting people's lives. And, you know, like Jim said, that's your best business partner often can be your spouse, but you also have to know that there's the pluses and minuses that come with it and be willing to work through those, that it does require communication. It does sometimes cross the boundaries between work and family. It can also overtake your family time and family responsibilities. And so you have to be really careful about planning, setting boundaries around your business time So it doesn't negatively impact your family, but I think there's also been positive things for our family to see the growth of the business and the involvement and the kids helping out in different ways with the business.
Jim, Katie mentioned communication, but I'd like to ask you both, what do you think the keys are that have made this successful for you? If someone wants to start thinking about how maybe to plan this in their life, what are some of those key things that they can concentrate on to make sure that things work out?
Maybe the biggest thing is recognizing the strengths of your partner. Katie is extremely good at a lot of things. She hasn't mentioned this yet, but she's actually a budding politician. She's running for school board this year.
Congratulations.
And, so aside from, you know, helping hold our family together, and, you know, my role's grown a little bit there since I've cut back at work and at the WCI, but she still has a lion's share of a lot of family duties. She's working more at the White Coat Investor than I am. She does all kinds of stuff in the community. She's basically a youth pastor at our church, and now she's running for school board. I mean, this is an extremely capable person that I married, right? She's pretty incredible. And she has strengths that I do not have. And so recognizing those strengths and allowing the business to take advantage of them, I think has been a real key to our success.
So being the incredible person that Jim has said you are, I'll ask you the more difficult question then. Maybe instead of what have been the keys to your success, what do you think you got wrong looking back when you're now looking at your trajectory and said, boy, we should have done this differently?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I'll let Jim answer that.
We've made lots of mistakes in the business. Dozens of mistakes I could list out that we've made over the years. One of the biggest ones, though, is we were way too slow to hire. Way too slow. We're probably 3 years behind in hiring for the business to get the help we needed in it. And, you know, I regret that a lot because I wonder, well, what could it have been if we had made those hires 3 years earlier? So that, I think, was a big mistake.
Katie, do you think that you interact in your personal life as spouses differently now that you've built this business? Do you think you've learned things about each other that you might not have known if you hadn't embarked on this huge project together?
I think you certainly do. Partly, you just spend a lot more time with your spouse and in different environments. You know, I get to see Jim up on stage as he's doing presentations and interacting with different people. I get to see him as he's, you know, the work and as we, you know, behind the scenes as we're planning ahead for what the, you know, the direction of the business and what, you know, our mission and trying to stay true to our mission with the business. And so I think you learn a lot more about your spouse when you get to work with your spouse than you would otherwise in just your day to day.
We have our 25-year anniversary this summer. So we've been married for a quarter of a century now, more than half of our lives. And I think a lot of times in a marriage, you kind of get pigeonholed into your roles. You know, whether that's one person is the breadwinner and one person is the homemaker, or whatever your roles might be. What I think this business has done working together in it and adapting to it over the years is our roles have had a lot of change that I think a lot of people don't have in their marriages. And so at times I've been, you know, had homemaker roles, you know, particularly more these last few years as I've cut back. And Katie's had more of a business role, an administration role, and these other roles that we never had for the first 10 or 15 years of our marriage. We had pretty concretely defined roles in the marriage. And so the opportunity to not only experience these other roles ourselves, but also to see our spouse doing those, I think has been pretty enlightening.
I'm interested also for you both to answer this question. What do you think the indicator will be to sell this business and which one of you will hold on tighter to it as opposed to want to sell it? Let's start with Katie. What would be the indicator to sell and which one of you guys is going to hold on to it tighter?
I think the indicator to sell, I mean, we have entertained some offers. It's finding the right fit, the right multiple, and just making sure the business is at the point of ready to sell, that we're not at a point where we're doing a big growth initiative kind of thing. And so it'll just have to be, you know, when the time is right, I think we'll sort of know that it is. As far as who holds on to it more, I think probably more Jim would be one, because it has been his baby for a number of years, 13 years now. And so it will be hard to let go, but because there's still parts of it he really does enjoy doing with the content creation.
Jim, I have this kind of mental image of you pushing more and more of the work onto Katie so you can go skiing. So tell me, who's gonna hold on tighter? You or Katie?
Yeah, I was floored that she answered that she thought I was going to hold on tighter. I think, you know, only one time have we gotten really far into entertaining an offer to buy. And I thought she was holding on to it a lot more than I was. What would it take to sell? If somebody wants us to overpay for the business, we'll sell the business. You know, bring on an incredible offer that we can't turn down. We'll sell it tomorrow. You know, we're not stupid about it. This is not something that I feel like I have to do in my life and that somebody else can't, you know, step into that role and run the White Coat Investor. I don't feel wedded to it in any way, shape, or form. That said, I'm very happy with where it's at. You know, the role I have in the business now, I could do for many years, decades probably, and enjoy it. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. But the truth is, the stuff I do now in the business, you know, podcast hosting, writing newsletters, you know, giving keynotes at the conference, writing several blog posts a week. Whoever buys it is going to allow me to keep doing that as long as I want to do it. You know, my role is not going to change if somebody else owns the business. So they want to give me a whole wad of money to, and de-risk my life in that way and yet still allow me to do what I love about it. I could live with that. Someone wants to overpay for the business, it's theirs.
Katie, were there ever lines in the sand or are there kind of mental lines in the sand now that said, boy, you know, if it starts disrupting things to this level, we're going to stop working together or one person's going to mostly take over or we're going to sell? Like, was there ever, for instance, just to give an example, I could see someone say, if the kids are starting to hurt because of this, right? Maybe at the beginning of the business, you were like, here's a line in the sand. If we're starting to fall off with being able to help the kids do what they need to do, someone's going to have to step out. Did you ever have those kind of lines or do you have them now?
I wouldn't say we have any firm lines in the sand. I think we just, you know, we have to adapt, you know, as we see the kids, you know, maybe they have more needs. It means that, okay, we got to step back and maybe that project doesn't get done as fast with the business that we have to be more available and for the kids. And so I think we just try to be aware with that, but there haven't been any hard lines per se. And if it gets to the point where we're just feeling overwhelmed, that usually means it's time to hire somebody else.
Well, Jim and Katie, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today. My goal is to really peel the layers back and see what it looks like to work within a marriage, to have a family business, because I know so many people out there believe that that's a future that they could really look forward to. And as I listen to you and watch you interact together, I realize certainly it's not easy. It doesn't sound like anything you guys did was easy. It sounds like just like in any other relationship, whether it be a marriage or a business partnership, there's going to be conflict. But it also hits me that being romantic partners, being parents together also created this ability to adapt that probably really served you well as partners in the business, where you could pivot and adapt to what the business needs. So I can't answer this question for other people, but I imagine that is one of the strong benefits is if you tend to work already well with your spouse in your marriage, it'll probably do well also within the business. I want to end this episode the way we end every episode by asking you what is up next in your life and where people can find you. Katie, tell us what is happening at the White Coat Investor. What are some of the big things happening over the next few months?
We're releasing a couple courses in the next couple months. We've in the planning for our 2025 conference, which will be in San Antonio, end of February, 1st of March. And yeah, I think that's where we're headed.
And Jim, if people have questions or want to know more about the platform, what is the easiest kind of way to get involved with the White Coat Investor?
All the branding is White Coat Investor. So whatever you're looking for, whether it's a podcast or an Instagram feed or online courses or books, it's all titled The White Coat Investor, so you can find it at whitecoatinvestor.com.
Jim and Katie Dolly of The White Coat Investor, thank you so much for being on Earn and Invest today.
Thanks for having us.
It's been wonderful to be here.
That's a wrap. Earn and Invest is now part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to this show as well as other fine podcasts.
This after segment is going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge of different things I want to talk about. First and foremost, I want your input. What do you think about the community segments? I got an email recently saying, I have enjoyed the last two episodes of the new community series. It is so nice to hear some people who are not in the industry. And I really like this idea that we can have people on this podcast, people who are part of this community, and you don't have to be a financial expert to have your voice heard. In fact, I would say that people are just as interested in hearing the experts as they are in everybody else. We realize that we all have our own unique experiences when it comes to our finances and business building and living a good life. And sometimes it's just nice to hear other community members as they tell us what they do right and wrong and what works for them and doesn't work for them. Of course, on these community episodes, I like to have an article or a topic to talk about, but that kind of opens up the book so that we can have these deeper conversations about who they are and what they are about. So please drop me a line. If you're interested in being in one of these community episodes or if you like them in general, let me know about it. I've been trying to contemplate whether I want to do more of them. So I've been doing one of them at the end of the month on the last Thursday. But could this be something we do more often? Could we be doing it every week or every other week? And I'm wondering what the appetite out there is for hearing more community voices. Are you more interested in hearing the experts, the book writers, the well-known entrepreneurs, the people who have something to sell? Or would you like to spend more time listening to fellow community members and what they have to say about these various topics? Speaking of community, one of the reasons why I wanted to have Jim and Katie Dolly on is because I was part of their community when I discovered financial independence. And in fact, like all of you listening, it was through me listening to them that I learned all sorts of important things and eventually started to build the life I wanted, in which I left my job and started to do things that were a lot more appealing and pleasing to me. I've always been enthralled by this idea of the family business. And they are a great example of people who've pulled it off, spouses who've worked together and built an empire. And isn't that the dream? I mean, I think it is for a lot of us, not necessarily the empire part, but what if we could leave our jobs, we could work with our spouse from home, do something cool and creative together, and rely on each other in business as we do in our relationship or as parents or in our partnership in general? Could we extend that relationship into making money? The reason why I wanted them on was to show both the positives and the negatives. And so, yes, in some ways, it is the dream. But as Jim and Katie will tell you, it's also difficult. I mean, most of the fighting they do, they said, is about the business. And it doesn't just stay in the confines of their office. It follows them into their kitchen, into their living room and family room, into the places where they parent, and onto date night and anywhere else they interact. And so one of the things we often don't think about is that when business and life intermingle, you often don't get a break from the business. A lot of your conversations end up being business-oriented. A lot of what your kids hear you talk about ends up being business-oriented. And so there are positives and negatives. I've never run a business with a family member. Well, I shouldn't say that. I did run my medical business with my sister-in-law, so I've kind of done that. But I certainly have never done it with my spouse. And I'm wondering the experience of all of you out there. Have you run a business with your spouse or another family member? How did it work? Was it successful? Was it unsuccessful? Did you eventually have to break the business up because of conflicts between you and that family member? Or is it doing amazing and you wouldn't think ever of working any other way? Let us know. Send an email. Interact on Facebook at earninvest.com/Facebook. Go to earninvest.com. Leave us a message. Write me an email and we will talk about your responses here in the after show.
All right, I think I leave things running just for a moment or two to catch whatever we talk about afterwards.
That's usually the best stuff, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, thank you guys for being open. Like, I could certainly see, you know, a couple come on and I could ask them all these questions and they could give very flat, canned answers. And so I think it takes, you know, a certain amount of courage to be open and honest and say, hey, this is not perfect. And yet it's clear that you guys have found a way to work together in such a way that you've really been able to build something spectacular. So thank you so much just for talking about it, because I think these are good models for other people to listen to and evaluate when they're trying to think about what they want to do with themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's great running business together, but, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, you got to go get in bed with that same person and go to sleep. And so you better figure it out or, you know, everything's going to be miserable.
Yeah, there's no escaping going to work. And there's no escaping going home. If something's not going well, everything's going badly.
So. Are your offices like on opposite sides of the house? Like, have you created some spatial separation at least? Or are you using like the same space as your office?
We did a renovation right at the beginning of the pandemic. Just finished up as the pandemic started. And part of that renovation was adding space. This recording studio we're sitting in now is my office. And then we have a conference room that we can probably seat 12 people in or so. And then on the other side of the conference room is her office. And so it's one dedicated part of the house, but we're not in the same room.
Yeah, which makes a little sense. There's good to have a little separation. Right,
so you can close your doors if you don't want to talk to them and hide out a little bit.
Do you guys have staff often over to the house and meet in that conference room? Is it like, are most of your people local? I assume they're not, right? Are they spread out around the U.S.?
Half the team is in Utah. Half the team is elsewhere. And so when we have our monthly staff meetings, half the people are in the conference room, the other half are on Zoom. But we probably have somebody over here. Well, probably the most frequent person coming over is the podcast producer. So every time I record podcasts, I have another person there helping me.
Got it.
But other than that, you know, the podcast producer coming over 3 or 4 times a month, and that monthly staff meeting, it's just us here working. Everybody else is remote.
Occasionally we'll have other meetings or people will come over for, and it just depends. Like this week we were doing some course recording, yeah. And I had Andrew over here doing some course stuff. And so it just sort of depends on what we're working on at the time, but people are sort of in and out and our kids are just used to random people walking in our house and they just,
it's just someone from work. You know, it's interesting. Your guys, based on your story, right? A huge amount of expansion happened in the 2019, 2020 range, which is also right when the pandemic happened and revenue from websites, all that kind of stuff was going down. But that was kind of a real building phase for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2020 in particular was really important. You know, we basically hired our C-suite and set up the structure of the company. We swapped out our content manager, which obviously has a huge influence on what's going out. We realized that we needed better efforts at search engine optimization. We hired somebody that was her entire job. That was to get us turned around on search engine optimization. So 2020, 2021 was really a huge phase. Now, the good news is that wasn't a particularly rough year for us income-wise. We had pretty good growth in 2020, 2021. You know, in a lot of ways, people were very interested in taking online courses
and
refinancing their student loans and, you know, getting insurance and all the things that help us to make money. Those were not bad business years for us at all. They were some of our best years.
Well, and it was interesting because I think, though, the pandemic also caused us to relook at some things within the business, because one of our big of lines was working with student loan refinancing, and all of a sudden all those went to 0%. And so we didn't know what was going to happen. And so it helped us to really focus on making sure we were growing other revenues of income. And, you know, so that we were protected from one line taking a big hit.
Yeah, you know, it's I think one of the lessons, the people who did well through the pandemic turned inward right then and built. Right. And I think you guys, whether you meant to or not, it was the right time for you. And so it was a really good time for you to turn inward and internally build. But I feel like the businesses that did fantastically through the pandemic, especially the ones that maybe even took a little bit of a hit, the reason why they survived and maybe even thrived is because they had that internal view coming into that year. So, yeah, interesting timing.
Part of it is we were set up to be a remote business.
Yeah.
So there was no transition. We're like, yeah, hey, great, we're already doing this. So it was no trouble at all for us to maintain our operations. I mean, the only really big change we had that year was in 2021, our conference was online. That's it. Everything else was just the way it had been the year before.
Yeah, my wife works for a company where she has been working from home since about 2003, 2004. So it was funny. Business was just business as usual for them. They were completely set up and ready, and you know, everything for them was just the way it should be. So,
as a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off: U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Tech moves fast, so keep pace with the Daily Crunch podcast from TechCrunch. With new episodes every day, this podcast will give you a quick overview on everything you need and should know about startups, new tech, regulations, and more. Listen to TechCrunch Daily Crunch now, wherever you get your podcasts. That's TechCrunch Daily Crunch, wherever you get your podcasts.